we've been talking, we've been talking for quite some time about the awakening, and don't want to fly away there, but you know, we've been talking about the awakening and the things that have been happening, and you know, it's amazing to me that even the news media, there's people in the news media talking about an awakening, you know, and how we need to wake up to God, and I think it's wonderful, and it's exciting to be a part of that, isn't it? It is really neat to be part of the awakening, and yet when we think about the awakening, we all have different ideas about the awakening, and you know, we all think about revival when we think about awakening, but it doesn't look like it's happening that way. The awakening doesn't appear to be that it's a great rush on the church for people to repent and come to Jesus. But it seems like a subtle move on the hearts of people everywhere. You know, just a changing their hearts and their lives. It's an exciting thing. And it's not necessarily what I'm going to preach about tonight, but I just wanted to share with you. You know, while we were away for a few weeks, the place that we attend church when we're there, we were just shocked at how many people, and they were shocked at how people are coming. I mean, this is a vacation spot, and yet, you know, several weeks, the first week, there wasn't any seats hardly left. I mean, there might have been one or two scattered through the area. It held 300 people. Just my quick calculation as I looked around. And second week was standing room only, and the third week was standing room only. And you know, and to me, it was just an indication of God moving on the hearts of people. And yes, there was a lot of old, what you know, snowbirds and gray hairs there, but there were a fair amount of young people. On the weekends, they seemed to have an influx of young families, you know, and people, many people were saying stuff like, how can they be down here? Their kids should be in school. We're seeing a trend with the homeschools. And I think that was probably because people, you'd hear people occasionally say, they must be homeschooling because they're here with their children. You know, and they would come to church. I mean, just because they were on vacation, they didn't neglect the gospel. It's exciting to see. I mean, it excites me to think about what God is doing, you know, and how he's stirring the hearts of people. When we hear our news media talk about the awakening, we need an awakening. We need an awakening unto God. And then a gentleman Wednesday night was sharing with us that his children, one lives in Pennsylvania and one, was it Kansas or somewhere? It's further west than here in another state. And the pastor is in the pulpit and he's encouraging them to homeschool and teach the children, you know, American heritage and to, you know, bring them up in the right way. I mean, that to me, when churches start telling, you know, because we live and we've all been under this pastorate for so long, this is normal to us. Gordon and Debbie teach us life and how to live. And that's not how it is everywhere you go. You know, that, you know, a lot of times you get 3 points in a poem and that's the truth. You know, and or the guidepost, you know, that they got last week had a nice little reading in it, and so they share that. But here we get life. And you know, when you hear of other pastors and other ministries teaching and telling their people how to live, you know, encouraging them how to live, it is so encouraging to me. You know, and we can look at the dark, terrible things that are going on in the world, but you know, it's just a reflection of what the scripture tells us, that the sin's going to get worse, but the glory's going to get brighter. And so, you know, we can see that happening. I can see it happening. I can see it happening when we go places. And it's just exciting because you think, well, you know, it's really bad out there. You know, just watch the news media. How? Yeah, it is. But that's a promise to us that it was going to happen. You know, that's just how it is. The scripture clearly tells us, you know, that we're going to have tribulation, we're going to have trouble. But I'm really just encouraging, just want to tell you, if there are people just like you out there, and they're praying for an awakening. I mean, you know, when you have a nice little Mormon boy on TV telling you, you know, that this world, this, you know, our country needs an awakening, you know something, God is touching somebody's heart. You know, he's trying to get the word out. And so just continue to pray for the awakening, an awakening to God in this country. You know, that God would wake the people up, shake them up, wake them up, and bring them to him. Because that's what it's going to take. And, you know, and it's almost like until this awakening gets into the fullness of the swing of it, then we'll start seeing souls coming to the Lord. But, you know, judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And there's a lot of people who claim to be Christians, and yet they're not sold out for God. And I think that this is part of what's happening in this awakening. I think that God is drawing them. You know, he's calling them. He's stirring them. And calling them to return home like the prodigal. And that's a neat, it's an exciting thing to think and to see and just to hear. And just, you know, just talking with people when you go out, you know, in years past, normally it's kind of scary sometimes to talk to people about what's happening at church or what God is doing. But, you know, if you just start a conversation, people are just so eager to hear what God is doing. You know, they want to know. They want to hear. They want to know that God is good and that God is for them. And that's basically, you know, that's basically it for most people. They just want to know that God loves them. They just want to know God is there for them and that God is good and he's a good God and he doesn't, you know, exact justice or judgment, let's put it, judgment upon them, but he's calling them. So praise God for what's going on in this country and just keep praying for that awakening. You know, keep praying for the people in this church to wake up and keep praying for the people out there, because there's people out there that God's speaking to them. He's talking to them. So praise God, you know, and I just really say to you, you know, you're part of this. You're part of it. And God is doing a wonderful, wonderful thing. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. All right. Well, tonight I want to talk to you about obedience. Now, I might be preaching to the choir here just a little bit, but bear with me. While we was away, also, I don't know if it was a purposeful thing on the pastor's part where we attended, or if it was just something that God kept hitting me with. And it seemed like every week the sermon had something to do with obedience. I mean, he wouldn't even be talking about obedience. He didn't talk about obedience, so to speak. But he talked about a little bit of everything because of the situation, because there's so many people that are transient. And he mostly talks about salvation just about every week. You know, it's very evangelical because people, he doesn't know who's going to be there next week. So, but obedience kept coming out. And I got to looking and hearing and studying about some of this. So I just want to share some things with you. And what was really neat was when I come back, and we had this word of the Lord that Gordon had on September the 19th in the evening. And there's just a couple little things. I know Debbie went through some of this last week, but there's some things in here that I want to pull out from here and share with you. And first of all, he says, I'm inspecting the manner in which the troops conduct themselves. It's one of the very first things that he said. I'm inspecting the manner in which the troops conduct themselves. And then on down through that paragraph, it says, would you do what I tell you to do? Would you go into the heart of the king and lay aside your life? To lay aside the things that hold you back, that keep you from pressing on? Would you pay that price to have me walk in you? For if my body would pay the price, oh, the great awakening that you are praying for would soon begin to appear before you. And then further down in another paragraph it says, and yet my people are still not ready for that day of battle, for they are not fully consecrated. They have not fully consecrated themselves to me. Oh, they wish and they wait and their hearts are pure, except they will not follow where I lead. Further down, it says, they always are looking away, always wishing for a better day, but they will not do those things that I have asked them to do in the here and the now. So God is calling for some obedience. He's inspecting the troops. He's looking at his people, and he's inspecting the troops, and he's asking for obedience. And, you know, when you're in the military, obedience is the utmost. That is the one thing that they expect from everybody in the military, that you will obey. No matter whatever is said or asked of you, you don't question, you don't wonder, you don't voice your opinion, you just obey. So praise God. Obedience is the act of conforming to the command out of due regard for his authority. Now, I got this from, I know this is not out of the dictionary. This is not from Webster's. This is from a commentary. But I like this because it says it's the act of conforming to the command out of the due regard for whoever is giving the command's authority. And when we look at that and we think about, you know, what Jesus is asking, what God is asking, that we act, it's our act of conforming to his command. We don't see God as one who commands us to do things. We usually see God as one who asks us to do things. And, you know, when we look at it as God is asking us, that gives us a little leeway maybe to not do exactly what God wants. But, you know, it's the act of conforming to the command out of due regard for his authority. And we know God is all authority. He is the authority. Obedience is one of the fundamentals of a Christian life. And we normally don't think about obedience in that way, but it is a fundamental in our Christian life. It's one of those baseline things that we do as Christians. We obey. We hear God's voice and we obey. Faith itself is a form of obedience. Faith itself is a form of obedience. And so, you know, when we learn about faith and we begin to walk in faith, it's part of obedience to the Word of God. Dr. Cho has always said this. I've said this many times in reference to Dr. Cho. You don't have to worry about having faith. Just listen and obey. And I always like that because I know that that's true. If you just hear God's voice and do what he tells you, you don't have to worry about conjuring up faith. Speaking of conjuring up, you know, working up faith. We just listen and obey. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, it's very important for us to just understand the depth of obedience that God needs from us. Like I said, we see God as one who asks us to do things, and when we see it as asking, you know, it's just like our children. You know, if you command them to, you know, sit down, they'll sit down. But sometimes if you say, would you please, I'd like it if you'd sit down, and we ask them, you know, it may be iffy depending on the kid's mood for the day. And, you know, and that's how a lot of Christians are. It just depends on our mood for the day as to whether we really feel like obeying what God has to say to us. So let's look at Deuteronomy 28, starting verse 1. It says, And now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe fully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations on the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herd. and increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl, and blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. So you see, obedience brings a lot of blessing. Obedience brings a lot of blessing to us here, because he says, if we'll just obey his commandments, if we'll do those things, and I love when he says, I'll set you high above all the nations of the earth. You know, and this is what Christianity needs to be. It's because we have not obeyed that we are not high above the nations. Because if it was God's druthers, he would rather that we had obeyed and would be high above all the nations, especially here in the United States, being founded on Christian principles. But all of these blessings will come and overtake us. And we wonder why we haven't been overtaken by blessings. It may be because we have not obeyed. In Jeremiah 7:23, it says, "But this is what I commanded them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people, and walk in all the ways I have commanded you, that it may be well with you." You know, he says, if you obey my voice, it's when we obey his voice that he is our God. And it's when we obey his voice that we are his people. Now, you know, you can look at that at a real black and white situation there, and that could get just a little scary, you know, that when we don't obey, is he not our God anymore? Are we not his people when we don't obey? But if we will obey, he is our God. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? Amen. And James 1:25, it says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." And I like this verse because he's talking about obedience here, that you look into the perfect law of liberty and you continue in it. That means you're going to do that. You're not just a hearer of what is being said. You're not just being a hearer. Even when you read the scriptures yourself, you hear yourself in your head reading the scripture. So if you hear that and you do it, and you are a doer of that, or you're obedient to that, he says here, then you are blessed when we are doers of the word. So we need to hear the word and obey what it says. Obedience is not only hearing the Holy Spirit and obeying, but it also is knowing the word and obeying. Not just hearing the Holy Spirit speak, but knowing the word and obeying that word. It's very important for us to know the word and obey it. That's why we encourage everyone. I mean, even to this day, when Gordon ministers, he has a scripture. I want to see it. I want to read it because I need to know it for myself so I can judge whether I'm going to obey it or not. Because that's what it really comes down to when it really, I mean, I love the sermon that he had this morning. I mean, it was just so stirring because, you know, it was just a matter of a choice. He laid out everything to us today, and now it is our choice of what we want to do with it. Do we obey the word, or do we just go our own way? Do we hear it and not be a doer of the word, and be a forgetful hearer, and just walk away? We can't be blessed when we walk away after hearing the word of God. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to flip-flop back and forth in the scripture here a lot this evening. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, we're going to start here. And this is talking about Jesus. It says, "He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him was manifest to you in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls by obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." Obedience is an expression of love. I think that that is such a unique thing, that obedience is an expression of love. You know, and when we purify our souls, he says here, we purify our souls by obeying the truth. And when we obey, it's because we love. We'll get to some other scriptures on that. But I like this, that obedience here, he says, is purifying our souls. You know, in the way we purify our souls is that we see what it says in the Word and we make a decision that we're going to obey that Word. That will purify our souls. Now, is it a struggle sometimes? It most definitely is. Sometimes it is a struggle to obey. Sometimes it's a struggle to purify your soul, and sometimes you just have to keep reminding yourself, but that is what the Word says. It may not be something that I really like or I really want to do, but it's the Scripture, and I really need to do it. And if I keep telling myself the Word and keep rehearsing it over in my mind and over, it will eventually purify my soul to the point where I will agree with the Scripture, and my feelings will have nothing to do with it any longer. And that is so important for us to do, is to purify our soul by obeying the Word, not giving our own opinion or deciding for ourselves what we think, or just out and out rejection of the Word. You know, that is not going to, but the purifying of our soul is to hear the Word and obey what it says constantly. Let's look at John chapter 14, the Gospel of John. John 14, verse 15. And here is where obedience is an expression of love. He says in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if we obey him, it shows that we love him. You know, we look at these scriptures, and we haven't quite put that together, that, you know, that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and we usually say, yeah, that's right. But when we look at obedience as an expression of love, then we will keep his commandments. We'll just do what he tells us to do. We'll obey him, and it's because we love him. You know, and it's important for us. It's a satisfaction in us to love God and to do what he says because we love him, because we don't want to not only disobey him, but we don't want to hurt him or have him grieved or turn away from us because we're disobedient to him. But because we love him, we will obey what he tells us to do. That's good. That's in, praise God. So let's look at 1 John 5. Like I said, we're going to go everywhere here tonight. 1 John 5. First John 5, verse 3, it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Again, love or obedience is an expression of love. It's how we express love to God, is through obedience. You know, we use worship as we say that worship is an expression of love, and praise is an expression of love. Well, why do you worship him? Why do you praise him? Because you're in obedience to the Word of God. You're in obedience to what he has asked. You're in obedience to his command to worship and to praise him. And because you're being obedient, you're expressing love. And it's the same way when God asks us to do something, he tells us to do something, let's put it that way, he tells us to do something, that when we obey him, it's an expression of love. And so many times we'll maybe barter with God, you know, I don't really want to do that. So if I do this, will that be okay? And we'll barter with God about, I really don't want to do that, but I'll do this here. And then try to make it look like, because we just love you so much, we're trying to work a deal out here with you, God, and we're trying to work it out, you know, so we can come to a compromise. God doesn't compromise, and I know you all know that. God does not compromise. He doesn't work out a deal. When he tells us to do something, he expects us to do it. And because we love him, we will obey him. He clearly tells us that. We will obey him, and obedience is an expression of love. And we'll see that in Mark 14. Let's look at Mark 14. This is partly about Gary's poem this evening is in here. In Mark 14, verses 32 is where we're going to start. And this is when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here a while and pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and they began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." And he went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, that the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all these things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." And then he came and he found him sleeping. And he said, "Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. But we know that even though Jesus, he wasn't bartering with God to take that. He was just asking him, "God, is there another way? But not my will, but your will." You know, he wasn't bartering with God. There was not going to be any possibility that he was going to disobey if it wasn't totally what God wanted. And yet, out of obedience, he knew what he was headed for. He knew he was going to suffer. He knew he was going to be beaten. He knew he was going to hang on a cross. Because he died at the beginning, at the very foundation of the world, he knew that he would die for our sins. And he knew from what kind of death he was going to die. Even from then, he knew. And yet, he was willing because of his love for the Father. His expression of love was through obedience to the cross. He died for us, and he went to the cross for us. So praise God. Thank God he did it for us. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's turn back to John 14:21. John 14:21. Obedience brings the manifest presence of God. And we can read that here. He says, He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by the Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Obedience brings the manifest presence of God. You know, we always read the scripture and we say, God will manifest himself to those who love him. Well, those who love him will be obedient. And so he says here, it's very clear here, that in obedience, it brings the manifest presence of God to us. Isn't that good to know? That when you're in a tight spot, you're in a situation, and God is telling you what to do, that if you'll just obey, that he will come, and he will help you, and he will be with you. His manifest presence will be with you and help you through that situation. That's a good thing to know, that obedience. You know, we can say, well, God loves me, and he's always with me. If you are obedient, he is with you. It's real clear here. It takes the obedience, our obedience to him, in order to have his manifest presence with us. So praise God for that. There is a guaranteed blessing for obedience, and there is guaranteed judgment for disobedience. These are some hard things. All right, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let's go back there again. Deuteronomy 11. We're going to look at 26 and 27, or 26 through 28. "Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today, and go after other gods which you have not known." So he's telling us here that there is a guaranteed blessing, he says here, if you will obey me. But he says there is a guaranteed judgment that is going to come upon you if you don't obey for disobedience. And that's a scary place to be in, to think about, you know, that there is not only guaranteed blessing, but there is also guaranteed judgment. Eventually, you know, there is going to come judgment. We're going to have to stand before God and give account for what we did and did not do. Oh, glory to God. I need to get myself straightened up. Amen. Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 19 and 20. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. That is a guaranteed blessing or a guaranteed judgment is coming from God. He is guaranteeing us one or the other. I want to be on the obedient side of this. Amen. I want to eat of the good of the land. I want the blessing of the Lord and not the curse. I want the blessing because I've been obedient to him. You know, and I think that we're getting down to a time when we need to hear what God is telling us and obey quickly to what he's telling us to do. I think that it's coming to a time that that the gray area is getting real, real thin, and you're either going to be on the good or the bad, the black or the white, whichever way you want to look at it. But I think that gray area is getting thinner and thinner and thinner, because I believe that the time is getting short, and I think it's coming to the point where we've got to learn to be obedient to whatever God tells us to do. When he tells us to do it, we do it. It might mean your life. It might mean your life or the life of someone else. And so we want to be on that blessing side, that guaranteed blessing. We want the good of the land, not the sword. And it's going to take obedience on our part. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7:21. For not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, he is likened to the wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came up, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he is like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came up, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. It's a guaranteed blessing. Guaranteed blessing, guaranteed judgment, no matter what, you know. And he's, you know, he's saying here at the beginning of, in these scriptures, you know, it doesn't matter whether we have prophesied in his name, if we've cast out demons in his name, and we've done wonderful works. There's a lot of people, a lot of Christian people out there who have done wonderful things in the name of the Lord. But they didn't really know him because they didn't obey him. And great will be their destruction. And that is a sad thing to think about. It's a sad situation. So we have to be ready to help these people that if situations arise, that we can lead them in the truth and help them to find the way and show them the obedient way in which to go. Amen? For Gordon said this the other day, before the promise, there is a command. Before the promise, there is a command. Disobedience, it's the refusal or neglect to carry out a command, especially that of a person qualified or empowered to command. And, you know, we can see disobedience in refusal, but when we just neglect, we don't see it as disobedience. Because, you know, sometimes you might do this with your kids or even adults. you know, they'll say something and you'll just not respond. You know, you won't just out and out defy, or they, you know, kids might not just defy. They'll just neglect to do what they needed to do. And, you know, and how many times, I mean, don't raise your hand. How many times have we just neglected to do what God has told us to do? And it might be just a little small thing. We were somewhere, we were doing something, we were around certain people, and the Holy Spirit rose up in us and said, you need to say this, or you need to do this, or you need to go here. And we just neglected. We didn't just out and out say, no, I ain't doing that. You know, I have done that to the Lord. I have done that because I have said, I'm not doing that. But I've learned. I've learned over the years, you know, but, you know, sometimes we still kind of neglect to do what God has asked us to do. But we don't want to be disobedient. We want to be obedient and carry out the command from God. Amen. Amen. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us and offered a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. You know, even through the death of Jesus, there was a sweet smell aroma of the death when Jesus died. It's just like in the Old Testament when it talked about when he told him how to sacrifice certain, make certain sacrifices, the odor came up to God, and he could, you know, and he would judge whether it was an acceptable sacrifice by the smell. And when Jesus died on a cross, you know, even though we see the horror in that, it was a sweet smelling savor unto God. It was an aroma that was pleasing to him, that sacrifice of him. But he says, but in verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as it is fitting for saints, neither filthiness or foolish talking or coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous person, man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ in God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. And we can see here, he's telling us, be imitators of the children, as children of God. Do what God is telling you. I didn't look up the word imitators, but I'll bet you it has to do with obedience. You know, obey what God is telling you to do. Be obedient. Walk in love, you know, and do the things that he is calling us to do. And depart from all this other stuff, all this evil and uncleanness that he's telling us. Stay, he says, just stay away from that kind of stuff. Because he says, what happens is you get caught into these things, these empty words and these things that don't seem all too terribly bad, but yet you get caught in them, and then before you know it, you become the son of disobedience. You know, that happens at just a little bit of disobedience. You just don't out and out just disobey one day, especially when, as many, you know, all of us here, we've walked with the Lord in plenty long enough that, you know, we just don't say, well, I'm just going to go out and sin just because I want to see how it feels, you know. But sometimes we just slip up a little bit, you know, and then you didn't get into any trouble, so you just slip up a little bit more the next time, and then you wonder, and you see people who've been in, you know, Christians for a long time, and you think, what happened? What happened to them? They fell away from the Lord. And it's because they weren't obedient to the will of God. They slipped and they kept getting away with it for a little bit and a little bit and a little bit, and then eventually they become sons of the disobedient. And we do not want to do that. We want to stay in step with God and hear his voice. Disobedience disqualifies you. Let's look at Titus 1. Titus 1:16. is that they profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being despicable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. And in the Old King James, it says that they become despicable, disobedient, and all their work is worthless. All their work is worthless. And it's because of their disobedience, they disqualified themselves. We do not want to disqualify ourselves by disobedience. You know, one of the very first scriptures we read, you know, God says, if you will obey me, I will be your God, and you will be my people. Well, when we disobey, we separate ourselves. We disqualify ourselves from being the children of God. And we don't want to do that. When God speaks to us, God leads us, we want to obey him so that we will be qualified as children of God. Amen? Amen. Partial disobedience is still disobedience. Partial disobedience is disobedience. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 15. I'm going to start in verse 1. And it says here, 1 Samuel 15, verse 1. It says, Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people and over Israel. Now therefore, indeed, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did in Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them. Kill both men, women, infant, nursing child, ox, sheep, camel, donkeys. So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid in wait in the valley. And Saul said to the Kenites, go depart, get down from among the Amaleks, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amaleks, and Saul attacked the Amaleks from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amaleks, alive and utterly destroyed all the people from with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the... He spared the king and the best of the sheep, the ox, the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, they utterly destroyed. Now let's turn over to verse 18. And Samuel's talking here again to Saul. He says, now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners and the Amaleks and fight against them until they are consumed. Why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on a mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amaleks. But the people took the plunder of the sheep, the oxen, and the best of things, which have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, what I find is very interesting here, it's somebody else's fault that I didn't obey. You know, it was that wife you gave me, Lord, you know. You know, it was them. But we clearly read in the scripture it was he who said to go ahead and to take the best of what was there to sacrifice to God. You know, partial obedience is still disobedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. He partially obeyed what God said. He went in and he utterly destroyed everything that was worthless, but the good stuff he kept because he was going to sacrifice it to the Lord, he says. And so let's see what Samuel has to say about that in verse 22. He says, "Has the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king." Boy, did he get disqualified. Amen? He got disqualified as king because of partial obedience. And I didn't say disobedience, but partial obedience. Now, that's a scary thing to think about. Partial obedience is still disobedience. When God tells us to do something, he tells us what to do and how to do it. You know, and if he only tells you part, only do the part that he tells. Don't do any more, don't do any less, but do what he tells you. And if he only tells you part, you only do that part. But if he tells you everything, you need to do all of it. Not only the easy part or the part that we like or the part that we're comfortable with. Because, you know, sacrifice is not as good as obedience. Obedience is still better than sacrifice. And the way I look at this is when we are disobedient, then we try to sacrifice by reading a little extra, going to church a little extra, or praying a little extra because we've been disobedient to God. And to make up for it, we try to make some sacrifice by doing other things that we know that God likes it when we come to church. God likes it when we praise him. God likes it when we pray. God likes it when we read this word. But it does not take the place for obedience. It's important for us to obey God. Mike Murdoch says, "You can only be promoted by someone whose instructions you have followed." Isn't that good? And if God can't promote us if we're not willing to follow what he tells us to do. God's condition or position is always obedience. Let's look at Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Debbie read some of this to us last week. Joshua chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 7. It says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days we go across the Jordan and go and possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess." You know, his condition is always obedience. He said, if you will do this, this will happen. If you will obey me, go across the river, make your provision, go across the river, I'll give you the land. If you will keep the word in your heart, in your mouth, in your mind, I will be with you. I'll help you. And that you do all that I've asked you to do, I'll make your way prosperous and you will have success. But he says, you have to obey me in order to be prosperous, and you have to obey me to have success. And this was the way it always was with everything that Joshua did. He would always lead him in that way. If you will do this. He did the same thing with David. David would pray and ask God. And if he did partially what he was supposed to do, or he did extra than what he wasn't supposed to do, success was not with him, and God did not prosper him. So God, obedience is always God's condition. Always his condition. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, just a little bit more. Please bear with me. I'm sorry, I'm running over here a little. 11, verse 8. It says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he had received as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going." God's condition was, Abraham, you have got to leave your family. You have got to leave where you are at. His condition was obedience. And he says, but if you will go out from your family and you will go into the land, which I tell you, I'll give the land to you. His condition was obedience. So praise God. Just think about that. When God tells us to do something, if we'll obey, he will bless us. It's a promise that he's given us. Amen. Obedience makes you special. we tease the kids every once in a while. We tell them they're special. But God doesn't call us special like that. But he calls us a special treasure. In Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. Verses 5 and 6. He says, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you will be a special treasure to me above all people of all the earth, is mine, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you shall speak to the children of Israel. He was telling them that you are a special treasure to me. You are special people because you obey me. When we are obedient, we are special to God. 1 Peter chapter 1. Actually, it's chapter 2, I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. It says, therefore, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes desire pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is to be contained in the scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, a stone which the builders rejected, he became a chief cornerstone and a stumbling block and a rock of offense. They stumbled, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. Everyone is appointed when you become born again, or even when you're not born again, you're appointed. God has a plan for your life. But in your disobedience, you're stumbling. If you choose not to follow after Christ, you are stumbling over a rock that he has placed there for you to come to. He says, and they stumbled, being disobedient to the word, which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are a special treasure. He says, when we are obedient, we are a special treasure. And in the Old King James, it says, a peculiar treasure. And I loved it when I looked up these words, because peculiar meant a special jewel, but treasure meant a magazine, or not like you read, but a warehouse, especially military. And I just want to go back to that word that God was talking about at the very beginning, when he said he is inspecting the troops. Now, he's inspecting the troops. He's walking among us and checking us and looking at us. And he's just saying, if you'll be obedient, go where I tell you to go. I want to lead you in places. I want to take you places. I want to do things for you. And I want to be with you. And I want to lead you. And I want you to follow me, because I have a blessing for you wherever you go. Because we are a special treasure to him. We're a warehouse full of wonderful things that God has for us and for other people. In Peter's words in Acts chapter 5, 29, it says, we ought to obey God rather than man. You know, it's so important for us today that we would choose to follow God rather than what we want or what someone else wants. we would choose God above ourselves every time, that we would obey him every time over our own feelings, over our own decision, over our own thoughts and our own plans. We would choose God. And that would be to choose God rather than man, and choose God rather than men, as the scripture says. And when we choose God rather than what we want, that's what we are obeying those scriptures. And we know, according to the scriptures, that when we obey God, there is a blessing coming for us. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand. Praise you, God. Is there anyone here tonight that needs prayer for anything? Anything at all? Is there anyone that needs prayer or wants prayer for anything this evening? Okay, well, let's pray. Father God, we worship you. We thank you, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to us and leading us, God. Father, we want to be prepared. We want to be ready. We want to hear your voice, but we also want to just obey. Not only not just hear you, Lord God, but obey what you're telling us to do. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Father God, to be obedient to you, that we may have the good of the land and a blessing from you, God. Oh, we worship you tonight and thank you, Father, for your word, for your Holy Spirit that helps us and teaches us and leads us to know what your will is for our life and what you want for us, Lord God. Father, we invite you, come and walk among us. Inspect us, Lord. And if there be anything among us, if you find anything among us that is not right with you, reveal it to us that we can make it right, that we can be a people unto you, Lord God, that you will be our God and we will be your people. Father, we praise you and we thank you that you are a loving, wonderful God, and that you will manifest yourself to us when we are obedient. So we set this day, we choose this day whom we will serve, and we will serve you, Lord. We serve you and we love you, Lord God. We will be obedient to you. We thank you, Father, for all of your blessings, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.